Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here talking story every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And if you don't listen on Sunday mornings, you may listen to the podcast online at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today we're talking about something we last discussed in 2015, and that is caregiving. Most of us may not think of ourselves as caregivers, nor that we may ever need to be caregivers, but as our parents get older, as we and our spouses and friends get older, or as health becomes an issue, we may find that caregiving is something super important to understand. And today we have two guests to talk about this topic. Roberta Wong Murray, who lives here on Hawaii Island, is a really good example of what caregivers face, the choices they sometimes have to make. Roberta is a longtime news reporter. She was here in Hawaii. She worked in San Francisco. She was with PBS Hawaii, but then in 2013, cut that career short to care for her husband who had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Today, she's working as a caregiver and kupuna advocate and working closely with AARP Hawaii. Good morning. Aloha, Roberta.
Aloha. Good morning.
Roberta is going to tell us about the upcoming annual Caregivers Conference here on the island set for April 20th. The keynote speaker for the conference is a woman who probably did not expect to become a caregiver, but she did, and many of you know her, Emmy Tamimbong. Emmy began her career in radio and went on to work in weather and news for KITV4 and for KHON. Emmy Tamimbong is perhaps best known for Emmy's Island Moments, one-hour specials she produced and hosted that shares the stories of the lives of well-known people from Hawaii, ranging from actor Jason Scott Lee to musicians Kealii Raichel and Makaha Sons to island chefs and even President Barack Obama. Emmy has a compelling story about being a caregiver. She actually cared for two people, her mom and her late husband, Jim Burns, who was a judge and the son of Governor John Burns. Good morning. Aloha, Emmy.
Good morning. Nice to see you. Nice to be here on the Big Island.
Well, we're really glad to have you here, and particularly talking about this topic. Before we went on air, Roberta and Emmy and I were just talking. The whole topic of caregiving is something that we definitely, I think, most of us are going to face. And Roberta, I'd like you to start us off with this. How likely is it, Roberta, that we need to be concerned about this? How likely is it that anybody listening to this might end up being a caregiver?
I think it's quite likely that people will be facing the issue of caregiving in their lifetime. As Hawaii's population ages, it's going to be very, very important for a lot of people to be concerned about family caregiving. AARP Hawaii, of course, has talked about the silver tsunami that is hitting us. There are more people living longer here, more people needing care. One of the research statistics was out of an estimated population of maybe 156,000 here on Hawaii Island, that 20% of them are caregiving in some manner, whether that is running errands for someone, managing medications, taking people to the doctor's appointments, or actually hands-on caregiving. So that's the general overall view. I can share with you that from a standpoint of the Hawaii Community Caregiver Network, we have come across people in the course of teaching them powerful tools for caregivers, which is a class series that we offer. We have seen them to be predominantly a woman over the age of 60 caring for her spouse. The family caregiver, in most cases, is an isolated caregiver. And what happens to the family caregiver is that the stress of managing the care for someone, usually and typically their spouse, leads to caregiver burnout. And what happens when a caregiver burns out is her, and it's mostly a woman, her health is put at risk. And so we have subscribed to this evidence-based program called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. Hawaii Community Caregiver Network teaches this six-week class to family caregivers on how to manage stress, how to take care of themselves first. Over the last 3 years, we have conducted over 36 of these class series we have affected probably 300 people. Most of them have been women. Most of them have been over the age of 60, and most of them have been doing this job alone. So there's a whole group out there that doesn't know where to go for support and resources, not to mention probably not financially able to hire people to help when things get really, really tough.
Emmy Tamimbong, you were invited to be the keynote speaker for this upcoming caregiver conference, which is on April 20th. I'm imagining that is because you have personally experienced caregiving. According to what I understand, you were actually caring for your mom and then your husband, the late Judge Jim Burns, got sick. Tell us a little about your situation at the time.
Well, it all sort of happened almost in one full swoop. You know, it was like taking care of my mom in the hospital. And that's a whole other aspect of caregiving. And then about the same time, my husband, who had retired, and we were planning to just take it easy, we were going to go to Australia. And 3 days before, he got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, throat cancer. And I'll never forget the doctor said, Emmy, Jim, go on your trip. Make memories, have fun. So with that, you know, here we are in Australia, bittersweet, and I'm looking at him like, is this the last time? And I mean, it was really an amazing experience. And so then when we got back, he was, you know, ready to do everything, and we decided to have him tube fed because he couldn't swallow anymore.
Had he had surgery?
No, it was just from the treatment. Radiation and chemo. No, I'll never forget that my doctor, our primary care doctor, said this is what's going to keep him alive, because if you made him want to eat and choose, he chooses to eat, he won't. So I tube fed him for 6 to 8 months, and I had to learn from the get-go how to put his food, which is, you know, this milk portion thing with water and meds. So I was his lifeline. Everything went into this tube, which was connected to his G-tube in his stomach. And I had to watch him, you know, pretty much all day long because he had 3 feedings. One funny story is it got clogged one day, and I said, oh my gosh, what do I do now? It was a weekend. I couldn't reach anybody. And my husband said, you're supposed to know these things. And I said, why? He said, because you're Filipino. And so I called I have them on speed dial, a Filipino caregiver. And she said, Emmy, use Diet Coke. I said, Diet Coke? She said, yes. And you know what? I flushed it and it worked.
I guess there is something genetic about Filipino caregivers. How funny. Well, so it sounds like you had no prior experience in being a caregiver. Not really.
No, not at all. And I now have really appreciated what nurses do and what caregivers do, because caregivers are like nurses on call with no experience, and you just have to learn everything from how to set up your tube feeding, I didn't even know where the thermometer went. You know, I mean, it was, I'm not trying to sound really stupid, but I was just really did not know anything, but learned it on the job, and it worked. My husband lived 6 years, which was not unheard of, but we were both working towards time together. But in the meantime, I had a ruptured aneurysm because I was so fixated on wanting to make him live and wanting to make his caregiving work. And I thought I was superwoman, so trying to do TV and care for him didn't work. So one day after I sent a driver to take him for his treatment, I was home and toweling off of a shower, and my legs just gave way and I collapsed. If it weren't for my Rottweiler Rufus, who, unbeknownst to me, opened the door and shoved me, woke me up, barking, and then got me to the phone, I wouldn't be here.
Well, Rufus is a good boy. Wow.
Yes, and he passed away just before my husband. So, you know, like I said, it's been one thing after another. And that's why my whole thing when I talk to people is caring for the caregiver. Because we women, especially Filipino or ethnic women, have the tendency to be just automatic. We got to do it. We got to do everything, you know, 24/7. And you just forget about yourself.
Well, I think that becomes true for anybody who's caring for somebody, regardless of their ethnicity, because one does become consumed in the other person's needs. But let me back up. Let me ask you a question. You, I am imagining, had the means to hire caregivers. I mean, your husband was a judge. You're a well-known TV personality. Why did you make the decision to do the caregiving yourself and not hire in help?
I did, and it didn't work. And I've learned that when you're caring for your husband, if the person who comes in knows technically what to do, but there's a lack of personality or whatever, I mean, this person is going into your home and they're literally a stranger. So it's not going to work right away. And it didn't for me. So I decided no more caregivers except to help me clean house, you know, do those things. But no one touches my husband.
How did you learn to do the things you needed to know how to do? Because when somebody is as ill as your husband was and ultimately became, it's more than just dealing with a feeding tube. It could be very personal care. It could be a lot of different things. How did you learn how to do all that?
Well, I did bathe my husband, and I called a niece of mine who was a nurse. And then I told you I had all these Filipino nurses on speed dials. So whenever I came to question, I always sought help. And you have to, you know, sort of surrender your ego, because you want to think, I can do this. But if you can't, you have to have someone on speed dials. So, you know, we had some help, but it got to the point where my husband said, no more. I want you to do this. I want you to learn it. I don't want these strange people in our house.
Wow. See, that's the other thing. When you are a caregiver, there is somebody who is being cared for, and they may have desires too. They may not want strangers in the house, or they also may not want their loved one, their partner, to do intimate things for them. So in your case, obviously, your husband wanted you to do everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roberta, maybe you can weigh in. You cared for your husband as well when he had Lou Gehrig's disease. How do you address the patient's needs? I mean, how do you figure out in some cases what the patient needs? And then how do you deal with that?
It was really on the job training. I second what Emmy says. Basically, you're a nurse without a license. You're a certified nursing assistant without training. I learned a lot of how to take care of my husband's activities of daily living, which are feeding, bathing, transferring, putting on clothes, by watching how the CNAs did it, and then I would basically replicate it. In terms of hiring someone to help me, what really I needed was a break at night so I could get at least a couple of hours of sleep without interruption. So the CNAs that I hired were basically the night shift. Three times a week was what I could afford. And by then, you know, his needs was, yes, he did wake up every hour and a half or so, but it was mostly to have his arms moved or massaged or to change certain things going on with him. But that was the relief that I sought and needed so I could face the day, because it was basically all on clock again the next day.
Well, and your husband had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, which is clearly a very disabling disease where he probably could not at some point do much, if anything, for himself.
Right. I had to do everything. And at that point, it was just so sad because he obviously knew and trusted that I was there to help him, but he was in a lot of pain also. And it's just such a loss to watch, because you're grieving while you're caring. And frankly, it was a sense of relief when he did pass, because not only was he not in pain anymore, but I was not in pain watching him suffer so much.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. Thank you so much to our new sponsor, Regency at Hualalai. They're a retirement and assisted living community in Kailua Kona. Today we're talking with Roberta Wong Murray, a former newscaster who gave up her career to care for her husband, who had Lou Gehrig's disease, and Demi Tomimbong, who many of you know from her Emmy's Island Moments TV specials. Emmy cared for her royal husband, the late Judge Jim Burns, who had throat cancer. Emmy's going to be the keynote speaker at the upcoming Caregiver Conference on Friday, April 20th at Sheraton Kona, and we'll learn more about that as we talk. Next Sunday morning, we begin the first of several discussions about something that I used to think was unimportant to me, but is in fact critical to all of us, and that is wastewater. We're going to remind ourselves about wastewater in a previously aired conversation with Bill Kucharski, head of the Department of Environmental Management for the county, before we do additional interviews with Rick Bennett, who's chair of the county's Environmental Management Commission, and Steve Holmes, who used to manage wastewater for the city and county of Honolulu. Let's get back to our discussion about caregiving. Emmy, your husband, Judge Jim Burns, he had throat cancer, so I'm assuming that he had capability to communicate with you and care for himself longer, perhaps, than somebody who might have Lou Gehrig's disease. So he didn't want anybody else.
No.
But you really had to give it all. You had to give up everything.
Right. And there's a certain dynamic with couples. And I didn't realize what a taisho he was, which is a Japanese term for being strong man. And we would argue, no, I don't want to do that. I know, and I would say, no, you have to. And so you have to step out of the wife position and almost be Nurse Ratched, you know? And I was, you know, arguing with him. But I think at the end, you have to reach a certain level where you kind of manage it. And I broke down and cried. I said, Jim, I'm just trying to help you live because I don't want to lose you. And then when I had my aneurysm, he became my caregiver. And I was, they tell me, in a coma for a week. And the first thing I said, who's feeding my husband? And the nurse said, oh, well, Mrs. Burns, I think he's okay. I said, no, he's not, because he has to be tube fed. So they sent a nurse to make sure, because my blood pressure was rising, and they wanted to assure me that he learned how to tube feed himself while I was in a coma in the hospital.
How long after he became ill initially did you have your aneurysm?
6 to 7 months. So that was very, very tough, 24/7. And I was trying to put out this show on Hawaii Five-O, and I had a commitment and a deadline. And now I have a whole other definition for the word deadline because, you know, I had my aneurysm. And he was also very nervous because he was told that I may not make it. You know, and so he would tell me, you can't die on me. I said, why not? He says, because I can't handle it, but you can. I mean, we had some very raw discussions about us. Finally, he got better. I got better. You know, it took a few years. And so whatever years we had left, we just cherished.
Did the doctors believe, and do you believe, that you're having the aneurysm was a direct result of the stress that you placed on yourself as a brand new caregiver, because 6 months is not very far into what you had to experience?
You can ask Roberta. You know, she and I both cared for our husbands at home. There's no rest, there's no respite. And if you're not trying to get the medication ready, you're trying to go pick it up, there's just something to do every hour. And I was up early. So yeah, so I did it to myself. Because I was, you know, I thought I was Superwoman and nothing could happen to me. I mean, I really believed that. And then, pow, I'm out of it. But thankfully, I was able to get out of the hospital within a week or two. And I have to admit, we did get someone at that time, and it was a chef, because Jim was starting to learn how to eat again by that time, and we had to take him to learn how to swallow, and I had to get poi and baby food. But we had a chef, and he followed the journey and was able to make the kind of foods that Jim could have. You know, food is really, really vital for people going through cancer.
It is, no question. So one thing that I want to comment on now is the fact that you, Roberta, mentioned that you could only afford to have nighttime caregivers 3 days a week. What do people do who need help to hire caregivers? Are they just on their own? Do insurances cover this kind of thing?
Insurance does not cover this unless you have long-term health care insurance, but I don't know the hoops of that. We did not. One of the things that Hawaii Community Caregiver Network realized early on in our mission is that our job is to make sure that the community knows of the resources that are available. And so we have published a booklet for the caregiver called The Resource Guide. It's available online on our website. We have copies of it that we can send to people if they so wish. But in it gives a whole bunch of resources that caregivers can turn to look for help.
And the website is?
HawaiiCaregivers.org.
HawaiiCaregivers.org. Emmy, you're going to be the keynote speaker at the April 20th conference. What do you hope to give to your audience? What do you hope they take away from what you're going to tell them?
I hope they can prepare for the unexpected, because you don't have the blessing of knowing when it's going to happen. It's just that it will, and you have to look at it realistically and to try to prepare yourself now. I mean, I remember speaking to one group, and everything I said was in a handbook, and I said, darn, I wish I had this handbook, because it's true. And if you can get your hands on anything to read, just kind of familiarize yourself of the potential need down the road. At least it'll arm you for what you have to do.
Roberta, what is this conference that's coming up on April 20th? Tell us about it.
Hawaii Community Caregiver Network is sponsoring a conference on Friday, April 20th at the Sheraton Keoho Resort from 8:30 to 2:30 p.m. The theme of the conference is caring for the caregiver. This conference is being held for family caregivers who want to know more about the resources that are available to them in the community. We have asked Emmy to be the keynote speaker because while her example may be an extreme case, it is hitting home one of the most important lessons that we want to help people understand, and that is you must take care of yourself first. You've got to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you can care for someone else, or you stand the risk of having a serious health issue of your own.
And that's what happened to me. I was so obsessed about making sure my husband was going to be okay, and I forgot about me. And that's how I had my brain aneurysm, which the doctor said just ruptured and it bled. Most people don't even live through a ruptured brain aneurysm. I was very fortunate. And as soon as I got back home, I had to sit it out for about a month. And so Jim then became my caregiver. We just sort of exchanged roles. But it was also a very poignant time for both of us because we both had such full careers, and now it was just us taking care of each other, and those years were very precious.
Well, you know, you talk about you both had careers. Roberta, you essentially had to put your career on hold, and actually you didn't return to your media career. Emmy, you were in the middle of producing a TV special when your husband got sick. So talk a little bit about that aspect of the impact on the caregiver, essentially giving up that which has provided financial support as well as emotional support, because careers do that. Emmy, what was your experience with that? Are you still doing TV specials?
No, I haven't, but I will be back soon. But yeah, I pretty much gave that part of my life up, and we didn't have as much financial resources as most people think. And so it really has to do with how much you want to give of yourself without killing yourself. And that became my motto and my husband's motto after we got through each other's health issue. And that's what I'm going to really point out, because you really do love the person you're caring for and you want everything to work. And we women, any nationality, you know, we are superwomen and we want it to work. It's just our nature. But you have to remember you have limitations too. And so if you think you can't do something, or I would say maybe toward the end I was going, okay, I'm going to get a manicure, I'm going to get a pedicure, I'm going to get my hair done or something to make you feel positive. Because if you don't bring that positive energy to your loved one, he feels it or she feels it, and then you're not good for her or him because you're not positive enough in your own life.
Roberta, you gave up your career to care for your husband.
I did, and at first I was lost because I had basically traded a role that I had known almost my entire life, that was of being out there and engaged and involved with something other than a family situation and now suddenly being so totally absorbed and consumed by being a caregiver. And so what I did at first was absorb myself in that. And you can go down a rabbit hole exploring and finding out things, but that was my nature, was, okay, how do I do this? What's medication management? How is he reacting to that? How do I do this? And then after a while, it became very, very cumbersome because the tasks became more burdensome. And then after a while, it became very, very isolating. And I think now today, as I move forward, I say to myself, well, I know I gave up a certain amount of things, but I think I grew as a result of it. And what I found myself saying immediately was, I learned really, really important life lessons. First of all, I learned what loving kindness means. I learned what true compassion is. And I learned what it was like to love someone without judgment and just unconditionally. And I felt like that was more important than anything else that I had to give up. So for me today, I'm just looking at, now I have a chance to rediscover who I am. And if it involves or may involve something else in terms of work or creative outlet, who knows? But I feel like I did my best for whatever I did for that period of time. So I'm very, very optimistic.
Well, and now you have essentially a new career. You're sharing your experiences and you're working with others who need to be in the caregiving role. But the issue of asking for help, I find that sometimes it's really hard to ask for help. So talk about that, because both of you had to ask for help.
Well, I wasn't embarrassed at all. You know, I just called on friends and certain family members who weren't working to kind of help me either drive my husband to the treatment so I could take a break and clean house. And then maybe even if someone said, can I pick anything up for you? And I'd give them my entire grocery list that took me out of getting out of the house. I mean, yeah, you have to just sort of realize that you need to be realistic. And that was the biggest thing for me, because I really thought I could do it all. And when I started realizing that I can't, I called everybody, including my nurse friends, and they were there to support me.
Well, so not everybody does that. Not everybody reaches out. How do friends offer help? What's the best thing to offer for both of you?
What can I do for you? Call me. Please call me and ask me how I'm doing, and what can I do for you today?
And that's a hard question. So what you do is say, hey, I'm going to go past the supermarket. I can pick up prescriptions or I can pick up food. I mean, be specific, because an open question like, what can I do for you? It's a little hard to answer. So just come up with examples. Can I do your laundry? Can I come sweep your house?
I think one of the most important things that you could do for someone is, hey, why don't I come over and spend some time with your husband so you can go take a yoga class or go snorkeling or go for a walk? I'll do it. Does 3 o'clock sound like a good idea?
That's good, because I know that sometimes friends have a hard time getting the person who's doing the caregiving to accept help, and maybe being specific like that is a way to do it in a non-threatening way. How do people enroll in this caregiver conference?
Go onto the website, hawaiicaregivers.org, and there will be information there on how to register online. You can register online through AARP. The information for that link is on our website, hawaiicaregivers.org, or you can call 877-926-8300. 877-926-8300.
Is there a charge for the April 20th Caregiver Conference?
There is a fee of $25 for the conference, and that will be to cover the cost of meals.
Both Roberta and I, who've been friends for, what, over 30 years, have this sort of path that we're both on right now. She lost her husband 2 years ago. I lost my husband just a year ago. And that's not to say because we weren't caregiving well enough, you know. I just want to make that clear. But I watched Roberta take care of Mark at home, and we always talked a lot. And I think, you know, now that we're looking back, we've both been through hell and back. And so whatever we have to share right now is because we don't want you to go unprepared. And it was very hard for me to accept this invitation because I just lost my husband a year ago. And that's a whole other topic. But we're going to stay with the living and talk to you on how you can prepare yourself for the long haul. And that's what caring for the caregiver is all about.
What comments would you like to add as we close out this discussion?
If people do not want to pay by their credit card, if you want to pay by a check or request a scholarship, or inquire about respite care, because we will be providing respite care at a different location for caregivers who need to have some place to put their care receiver, you can call area code 925-487-3232, 925-487-3232. Or you can email hccn@hawaiicaregivers.org for a mail-in form.
Can people just show up and pay at the door at the Sheraton Kona on April 20th?
People will be able to show up on April 20th and pay either by check or credit card. However, we would like to know how many people will be coming in advance. We welcome everyone who can come for that day.
My advice is just come and pick up every single brochure that's available, because, like I said, it's amazing to me that my personal experience is documented, and so I was never alone, and if I had the resources, I probably could have saved myself a lot of trouble. So come and pick up the handbook, and I'll be there to answer questions, and there's a panel discussion. And I'm here to say hi to the Big Island folks because I got married here 30 years ago, so this island's very special.
There will also be a presentation on understanding dementia, an update on AARP Hawaii's legislative activities. We're going to be hearing from the Hawaii County Office of Aging on services for older adults and caregivers. And then there'll be also a presentation on powerful tools for caregivers by the Hawaii Community Caregiver Network. So it's a full day.
One final question. Clearly, both of you must have felt very alone at times. The emotional toll it takes is significant. How do you address that? How do you deal with that, Roberta?
That was tough. I didn't sleep very well. Being on call, I found myself not sleeping much at all. You can't stop your mind, and the mind is really something that just kind of keeps going on its own. So for me, it was important to go back into a meditative state. For me, yoga was something that really, really helped me through the process.
How about you, Emmy?
I had a Rottweiler, the one who saved my life, and he was my lifeline. And it was amazing. He just understood what was going on. So if I sat there and tried to not cry, he would just come into my lap and lick my tears. And then I was fine. And you know, you just don't have time to think about those things because you're already thinking, okay, I got to get up early. I got to get these meds ready. And I'm glad you had yoga. I wish I did. I just had probably a walk or two with my dog on the beach whenever I needed to. But outside of that, there was just no time. And that's why I had the aneurysm. So don't be like me, okay? Because it does add up.
Emmy Tamimbong, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure. And I just want to reiterate again, come to this conference, April 20th, and you're going to hear from, if you remember KITV in the early days, the first Chinese and the first Filipino local flavors on the newscast was Roberta Wong and Emmy Tamimbong. So you can see what we look like now.
You both look about the same.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Roberta Wong Murray, thank you so much for sharing everything you have.
Thank you so much for having us today. Aloha.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is Island Issues. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Island's Mahalo Multimedia.